Good to have you here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John. And as Jonathan recited for us, there's four Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Big John. And they're the first four books of the New Testament, and they're called the Gospels, the Good News. The Gospel simply means good news. And so Matthew tells us the good news is that Jesus Christ is King. And Mark's good news is that Jesus Christ is prophet. And Luke's good news is that Jesus Christ is priest. But John's good news is that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In fact, John tells us the purpose for writing the Gospel of John over in chapter 20, verse 31. The Bible says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name." And so the purpose of John, as it is of the whole Bible, is that people might believe and might receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, this morning we're going to look at chapter 1 once again, and verse 6, as we behold the Lamb of God. It's here that we meet one of the great prophets and preachers of all time. In fact, listen to how Jesus describes him in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And so what a tribute the Lord Jesus Christ made concerning John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a wilderness preacher. And believe me, he could draw a crowd. He could preach the word of God. Matthew tells us that John himself was clothed in camel's hair suit, had a camel's hair suit, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, he had to be something, wasn't he? Had to be one tough character anyway. But anyway, he had a rock for a pulpit. He had a river for a choir. He preached sin was black, hell was hot, and heaven was real, and that Jesus Christ saved. And so what a preacher John the Baptist was. And so we're going to be looking at him this morning. He was a wilderness preacher. So beginning here in chapter 1, let's just read the... Well, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And notice what he says in verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him," Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. "And yet the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading as well as the preaching of his word today. And so as we look here in this chapter, in particular verse 6 to verse 13, there's a couple of things that this passage tells us about the John the Baptist and his calling and his reason for coming. First of all, we might call him the witness of the light. John is a witness, and Jesus Christ is the light. We saw last Sunday back in verse 5 that there's nothing that the devil and his crowd can do to extinguish the light, to extinguish the power of the light. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You know, when we preach to the book of Revelation, which is also written by John, you know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is restraint against all the ungodliness that really goes on in the world. And there's a lot of that going on in the world today. But there's a day coming, according to the Gospel of Revelation, or Revelation, the book of Revelation, by John, who preached the gospel, that one day the Holy Spirit's going to be withdrawn. And the church is going to be raptured. And then all restraint against ungodliness that's going on in this world will be removed. And so you can imagine what the chaos and the ungodliness is going to be taking place during that time. And so we have here John being the witness of the light, talking about Jesus Christ. I want to speak a little bit about John's calling. Matter of fact, it was prophesied that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, and also the great prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 verse 3 and 4, prophesied that John the Baptist would be coming. And so we have here in verse 6, John's calling. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so God called John. God still calls men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's calling on John the Baptist was to preach the good news. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he was a cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born 6 months before Jesus Christ was born. But in verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John's sole purpose on earth was to witness and bear testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. That was his calling. God called him to be a preacher of the gospel. And thank God he's still calling men today to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here just recently at our last quarterly meeting, we had three young men actually, who's answered God's call to preach. And what a blessing that is. Because in our state, a lot of our pastors, more than 50% of our pastors, are 40 plus. And so it's good to see that young men are still answering God's call to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John was called of God to preach the gospel. Matter of fact, in verse 19, we find John's comparison. Notice the Bible says here that, matter of fact, the Pharisees dispatched a committee of priests and Levites to interrogate John to check out what has happened. And so beginning in verse 19, if you'll look at it, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou, if thou not be the Christ, nor Elijah, nor neither the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stand one among you whom you not know not. It is he who's coming after me, is before me, whose shoes and latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And then the next day John said, Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so when they heard of John and heard John preach, they thought that he might be the Messiah. And they sent the Pharisees and the Levites to question him to find out if he was or was not. And so there was a comparison about him being the preacher or being the Messiah of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 15, John's confession, John bare witness of him, crying out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, who comes after me, who is preferred before me, for he was before me." And you can hear the skeptics say, "Well, listen, there's a mistake right there in the Bible, because it says that Jesus was before me, and that we know that Jesus was born 6 months after John was born. Well, to begin with, the Bible does not have any mistakes in it. If it did, then God is a mistake. And he's not. God doesn't make any mistakes. And so when John says here that Jesus was before him, he's talking about his pre-existence. Jesus was before John. Matter of fact, we looked at last time, the Bible says in the first verse, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God were before creation. They were then, they have been, and will be forever. And if you'll look down in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, when it makes a reference to us in the creation of this world and mankind, it is emphasizing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's called the Trinity. You'll not find the Trinity in the Bible, but there it is very simply and precisely before you in Scripture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This week we had rain, we've had sleet, and we've had snow. And so there you have the Trinity. And I'll be glad when it's gone. And so we have witness of the light. John was called by God to be a forerunner and present Jesus Christ, the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Matter of fact, that's the calling of every born-again Christian. Not just preachers alike, but every person who's been saved, you're but a light to those that are lost. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so we have in the Old Testament the sacrificial system that people had to specifically sacrifice certain sacrifices for forgiveness of sin, for atonement, the Bible says, to make them at one with God. And it was repetitious. They had to do it every year. It had to be very precise. It had to be done exactly the way that God had spelled it out to be in order to appease God, in order to atone for their sins, to cover their sins. But they had to be repeated and repeated and over again repeated. And I'm glad that's been set aside. But all of that pointed to Jesus Christ, who became the Lamb of God, who became the last sacrifice that God required for the payment of all sins. And so Jesus Christ died once, the Bible says, to remove sins for those who repent and receive Christ as personal Savior. In Hebrews chapter 9, for example, the Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. And then in verse 28 says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And so what good news that is to a world that's lost. It was good news to me. And it was good news to you that brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have the witness of the light. John was God's witness of the light of Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was paving the way for the good news and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's the wonder of the light. Notice in verse 12, John tells us a couple things here about the wonder of the light. First of all, in verse 12, the light is available. And I like that. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so verse 12 gives us the whole truth of salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, if you want to look back there, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so the light is available today. The Bible says, but as many, the Bible says, for whosoever receives him, as many as receive him, the Bible says, he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, God's done his part, and he offers to whosoever will. Anybody that wants to receive Christ as their Savior can be saved and have all sins forgiven. And thank God for that. The Bible says that it came to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, whosoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. And so, but as many. That cuts across every racial and economic barrier in the world. Red, yellow, black, or white. It does not matter to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who they are, where they've come from, what they've done. Jesus Christ is available to whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord. And so salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's available to the rich. It's available to the poor. It's available to every person, no matter who they are. And I'm thankful for that. It cuts across every denominational barrier, no matter what church it is. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. In other words, when you accept Christ, he gives you the ability to be able to live the Christian life. My question was, when I came to the place to repent of my sins, I was thinking about getting my life right with God. I needed to get life right with God. I said, how do I know that I can live the Christian life? And the preacher said, you can't, but God in you will enable you to live the Christian life. And so what John is saying here, he's saying to me, he said to me, and he's saying to us, but as many as received him, Jesus, he gives the power. He gives the ability to be able to live the Christian life. You see, we can't do it. Flesh can't do it. But praise God, Jesus Christ can enable us. He empowers us. When you accept Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that comes into your life. And he gives you the power to be able to live the Christian life. Matter of fact, he changes your want to. He changes your desire. And I'm thankful for that. And so the light is available. Let me emphasize that. It's available to anybody, whoever you are. It's available. And then it's adequate. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so I want you to notice the word. God's word makes a distinction between receiving and believing. You see, a lot of people today, most people believe in Jesus Christ. And they believe that he's the Son of God. And they even believe he's the Savior and the Messiah. But there's more to it than just intellectual belief. It's got to begin in the head, but it's got to go to the heart. And there's a tremendous difference. Somebody said the difference between heaven and hell is about 18 inches. And a lot of people believe in Jesus Christ today. You can talk to people. And I talk to a lot of people, and in general, most people. It's rare that I come across somebody that doesn't believe anything about God. Most people do believe. And so that's the first part. You have to believe in order to receive. But as many, the Bible says, as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And so it starts in believing. We have to be convinced. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, draw him. And so the Holy Spirit has to convict us and convince us in order to convert us. And that conviction part's a necessary part, but it's not the most pleasant experience, is it? I mean, it made me feel real uncomfortable when I heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did not like what I heard. Because it was the truth. Somebody said the truth never hurt anybody. Well, yes, it will. It will nail your hide to the tree. And when I heard the truth, I was convicted about it. Because it made me uncomfortable because of my lifestyle. I wasn't living for the Lord. And I was convicted over that. My life, when the preacher preached, I began to measure my life compared to what God's word said. I was falling short. I was missing the mark. Now, I had justified myself. You know, when I measured myself, my own mind, and my works, and my belief, intellectual belief, I was okay. But when I measured myself against what I was hearing from God's Word, then I was missing the mark. And I didn't like what I heard, but it was necessary. I was convicted, and finally, praise God, I became convinced that I needed a Savior. And then thank God for salvation, for Jesus Christ. And so there's a difference in believing and receiving to become a child of God. Matter of fact, the Jews heard him. The Bible says he came into his own. Here he was, prophesied. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And the Bible says he came into his own, and yet his own received him not. And as we get later into John, we'll see that the Jews are the ones that had him crucified because they did not accept him as the Messiah or the Savior. And they wanted him to put to death because he was a threat to the religious crowd of that day. And so he's adequate to save as many who will come to him. The Bible says as many as come to him will he receive them and save them and make them a child of God. Verse 17, you'll notice, for the law was given through Moses. And what was the purpose of the law? To show man that he had missed the mark. We have the Ten Commandments. And nobody's saved by keeping the Ten Commandments because you can't keep them. The intent, Paul says in Galatians, was that the law was a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus Christ because it shows us what we had missed the mark. So there's moral laws, there were civil laws, all sorts of laws. And one of the problems that in Jesus' public ministry was that they kept adding the law, adding to the law. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. You couldn't go here, you couldn't go there. And so they were adding laws, but it wasn't saving them. It wasn't converting them. And so the law was a schoolmaster. It showed man that he had missed a mark to bring them to Christ. And that was the intent. And so the law was written through Moses. But grace and truth, praise God, came through Jesus Christ. You say, what is the truth? It's the Word of God. That's the truth that sets a man free. You need to read the Word of God. So the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace giver. Jesus is God's grace with legs on it. He was here physically 33 years. His public ministry lasted about 3 years. And the Bible says he came into his own, he preached the truth, and yet the majority, much like today, even though they heard the truth and they were convicted by it, turned and walked away, not to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. When we get over in John chapter 6, when Jesus began to lay down the cost of discipleship, the Bible says that the majority of them began to walk away, saying, that's a hard saying. Who can do it? Listen, it's not cheap to live for Jesus Christ. Salvation is not cheap. It came with a price, and it's going to cost you something to live for the Lord. But I'm glad that he gives us the power through the Holy Spirit, the enablement. He gives us the tools. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God that resides in us, and he gives us the Church of the Living God. Thank God for that. And my dear friend Jim said, if you'll do three things, you go to church, you read the Word, and you pray, he said, you won't have a whole lot of trouble living the Christian life. And you know what? That is a simple truth and a simple fact. That's right. And it worked for me, it'll work for you, and it's working for you, and it'll work for many others. And so the question in conclusion, are you a part of the many? But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the power to become a son of God, a child of God, a Christian, a born-again believer. He gives you the power to be able to do that. Gypsy Smith, who was an evangelist, said that one time when a group of gypsies were forced to cross a swollen stream, a great number of them drowned in trying to do so. He said one young man made a desperate attempt to save his own mother, who kept clinging to him. Several times he pushed her away, saying, let go, mother, I can save you. But she wouldn't heed and was lost. She died, drowned in the river. At the funeral,
the son stood by his mother's grave and said over and over, "How hard I tried to save you, Mom, but you wouldn't let me." Well, how hard God's tried to save the Israelites, but they wouldn't let him. And how hard Christ tried to save the Jews, but they wouldn't let him. And some of you this morning, Christ has been trying real hard to save you, but you won't let him. You see, the choice is yours. We call ourselves free will Baptists, and really what that simply means is that you're a free moral agent. You have the choice whether to accept Christ or reject Christ, to choose to accept him or not accept him. And how sad, in my mind, it was for those who witnessed Jesus Christ, saw the miracles. Can you imagine that? Raising people from the dead, healing the lame and halt, doing miracles. And yet, in spite of that, Judas Iscariot even betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. No wonder. No wonder people don't believe today, in spite of who he is and what he is. And so it takes more than intellectual belief, my friend. It takes that to start. I mean, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, but it's got to come to the heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so God has to change a person's heart. That's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. And you know, there's a heart transplant that takes place at conversion that doesn't even require an incision. I mean, my wife had heart bypass. And some of you have had open heart surgery. That's a miracle. And the technology today is amazing that they can do that. And to think about, they can put a heart in a person. I remember several years ago, Mr. Russell, David Bates' father-in-law, his son-in-law's father, had heart transplant. I'm talking in the 80s at Barnes Hospital. That's a rare thing back then. And it was a miracle. And I saw him just a few days ago. And he's been doing well for several years now, 30-some years, after that miracle surgery. But listen, God can do that miracle in a man's heart, or a young person's heart, or anybody's heart, through conversion when they accept Christ as Savior. And I want you to be part of the many. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Thank God for that. And anybody can be gloriously saved. If you're not saved, you can be saved today. Right now, you just have to decide. You just have to decide, yes, God, I'm a sinner. And ask God forgiveness, repent of it. That means to turn about face. And then by trust or faith, receive Christ as your Savior. Invite him to come in. And he'll do what he says he'll do. He'll save you. And he'll transform your life. He'll change your desires and change your want to, because he changes your heart. And what he did for me and many others, he will do for you right now, this morning. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we